Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
All right, good morning to you. Good to see you here today. Hey, Hunter, you can tell people that you were the first person to sit in the new space at First Church, right there. Hunter did it, right there. I was up there getting ready for the baptism. I peeked out and I saw people sitting over there, and I thought, wow, they must not like to sit next to people. I didn't realize it was full out here, so I'm glad we actually have these open for you this morning. We actually will have chairs for you at some point too, okay? So actually like these. So bear with us, and it's going to be awesome. Actually, if you're here with us for the first time at First Church today, let me just tell you, if you didn't know, we got a lot going on, things are getting better week by week. We're really looking forward to it. We're actually going to use this space for our Thanksgiving dinner tonight. That's why the chairs are set up. We'll take these chairs down. We're going to feed 500 people in here tonight for our banquet, our Thanksgiving dinner. So we're really, really looking forward to that. All right, let me jump right in because I've got a long way to go. I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Two simple questions. Should you be, and are you? Now, the should you be question is kind of easy, isn't it? Right? I mean, Thanksgiving, thankful. Are you, or should you be? Sure, absolutely, yes. Answer to that question is always yes. Should you be thankful? Yes. I mean, even when life is tough, even when life is difficult, we should be thankful. God is with us. He's going to be with us. He's promised He'll be with us to the very end. Should we be thankful? Yes. Second question is a little bit harder. Are you? You know, if some of us, if we were honest with ourselves, a lot of us would say, yeah, sometimes. I mean, are you thankful? Yes, sometimes. But you know what? Probably very few of us, there might be some of us, and if you are here this morning and you feel this way, God bless you. Are you thankful all the time? Yes. There's a few that may be that way, but most of us, it's like, yes, sometimes, most of the time even. Or maybe we say just sometimes, but not very often. Or maybe some of us in a moment of clarity and truthfulness, we would say, no, I'm not thankful. Life is so hard for me right now and things are so difficult that it's difficult for me to be grateful. I had one of these moments last night. I know most of you know I'm a University of Tennessee fan, and I was watching the game. We spent the whole game. We were winning the whole game, the entire game. Last 2 minutes of the game, I kind of fell asleep, okay? And Arlene came into the bedroom, and as I was sleeping, I heard her say this, "Aw, Vanderbilt scored. I'm so sorry, honey." I woke up just in time to see them score in the last 40 seconds of the game, and we lost again. All right. Sometimes life deals us a hand that it's a little more difficult to think about life in terms of gratitude. What I want to do today is I want to teach you a lesson about gratitude from a wall. You know, there's some pretty famous walls around the world. We have the Great Wall of China that was built on the northern part of China to stop the invaders from coming from the north. You know, everybody's heard of the Great Wall of China. Everybody's heard of the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, you know, where the part of the old wall in Jerusalem where people still go of many different faiths to pray to God. We even actually have a Great Wall being built outside here, right? Right along the parking lot up there, we have the Great Juniata Wall going up, all right? And or either one of my favorite walls, is Mike here this morning? Mike Wall. Y'all know Mike? Mike's the guy here at church. He actually wrote a book recently on how to retire well, and he's everywhere, man. Every time I turn the news on, he's on the news. I was out at a community event a couple weeks ago, and his picture was on the front of the program that they handed out. I mean, Mike Wall's everywhere. But I'm not going to teach you a lesson about gratitude from any of these walls. I want to go to the Bible, the book of Nehemiah, and I want to talk to you about the wall there. Matter of fact, Nehemiah chapter 12 says in verse 27 at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, if you remember, we looked at this not too long ago. Nehemiah went back, and he led the rebuilding of the wall. The wall had been destroyed, and God's people had been carried off into captivity. And some years later, they came back, and Nehemiah was in distress because the wall was in disarray. It was on the ground. So the first thing they started to do was they started to rebuild the wall. So they rebuilt the city wall of the old city of Jerusalem, And here in chapter 12 of Nehemiah, we see described this dedication service of the wall. Okay, these people came together to declare how thankful they were to God that the wall had been rebuilt and they were back in this wonderful city of Jerusalem. Now, here's what I want to do. I don't have time to read this whole story from Nehemiah 12, verse 27 through 47, but I want you to take a look at that. And I want to give you the highlights of what was going on here because it's pretty interesting. In verse number 27, it says that the Levites were sought out, that they went out to bring in musicians and other people to be a part of this Thanksgiving service. And it's interesting because it says that they were brought to Jerusalem. Now, to me, that implies the intent of having everybody be a part of this Thanksgiving service, of this dedication service, of this new wall. It says there that the musicians were brought together from the region around Jerusalem. That's verse 28, and it mentions all these different cities. And then when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. But they came together with purpose, to be a part of this Thanksgiving service of dedication of this new wall. Matter of fact, I love what it says in verse number 27 in the Message. It uses the word exuberantly. That they were, the NIV says that they celebrated joyfully. The Message says that they exuberantly talked about their love and their dedication for what God had done. Now here's the illustration of Thanksgiving that I think is so beautiful. Because if you read after that part of the text, it says that Nehemiah put together two, and this is his words, not mine, two Thanksgiving choirs. You see that? It says that they put together two Thanksgiving choirs. Why not one Thanksgiving choir? I mean, don't you think that one Thanksgiving choir, one big choir would be better than two smaller choirs? It's interesting because it says that he put together two Thanksgiving choirs, and what he did, he gathered them there at the wall, and he got the first choir to go up on top of the wall, and he took half of the leaders, he took the musicians and the singers, and he told them, I want you guys to go to the right. I want you to go to the right down past the dung gate. Okay? And then it says, and you can read it there, it says that he, meaning Nehemiah, he went with the second group along with the other half of the leaders and more musicians and singers, and they got up on the wall and they went to the left. Now think about this, folks. He says, I want two Thanksgiving choirs. And I want this choir, I want you guys to march around on top of the wall around this way. And I want you guys, I'm going to go with you, and I want you to march around the city of Jerusalem on top of the wall around this way. And then they started to sing. Can you imagine what that must have been like? That had to be a beautiful thing to be on one side of the city. And if you look at some of the old maps of the city at this time, Jerusalem wasn't nearly as large as it was in later years, and certainly not today. It really wasn't that big of an area. So the choir's going around this way and they're singing. The choir's going around this way and they're singing. And that had to be a beautiful, beautiful sight. And then it says, if you notice there in verse number 40, it says that the two choirs marched around the city and they took their place in the house of God. So what happened was is that the choir went around this way, the choir went around this way, they marched past the dung gate, they went past, David's this and that, and they ended up on the other side of the city and they came down into the city of Jerusalem and into the temple. And then they led God's people in this marvelous dedication service of what God had done with the wall. Matter of fact, in verse number 42, it says that the singers made the rafters ring. Made the rafters ring. That the sound of the rejoicing could be heard from a long way off. Now, folks, I'm here to submit to you today that we need to be a part of a Thanksgiving choir. Matter of fact, when you're marching around on the city wall every day, God wants you to be a part of a of a Thanksgiving choir. But you know what I find in this passage, and I think you'll see it too, is to be a part of the Thanksgiving choir, there was a couple of different subjects that came up time and time again. And if you look at the passage very closely, you'll see that these subjects come up over and over and over again. In other words, if you're going to be a part of a Thanksgiving choir, you need to have these two things. You know what they are? The first one is joy. Verse 43, jubilation was heard from far and wide. The beginning of the text actually said because God had filled them with great joy. That's why they were doing what they were doing, because God had filled them with great joy. If we're going to be a part of a Thanksgiving choir, we have to have joy. And you know what? I think that's difficult today because we live in a time when I think that we have an epidemic of drudgery. That we have an epidemic of just drudgery. You know, it's hard to get up in the morning and just feel joyful and feel exuberant and feel happy and feel like that there's nothing going to happen that day that's going to knock you off. You know, I don't know if you're like me. The doctor said to me one time, John, you shouldn't drink so much coffee. And my response was, coffee's a vitamin in my world, right? You know? I know my mother-in-law in Arlene's, in her parents' house down in Virginia, they have this thing that she cross-stitched. It's up in their kitchen, and it's this picture of this old cat, and he's laying on top of a coffee cup, and the caption says, you should see me before I have my coffee. Right? I mean, there's a lot of us that we go through a routine in the morning just to be able to face the day. But when I look at this story, I just see a joy that is vibrant and a joy that is real. And you say, well, my goodness, John, the walls have been rebuilt. They're in a good place, man. Life is good. Life had not been good. Matter of fact, if you read the story of Nehemiah very closely, you'll remember that at times they faced great opposition to the building of the wall. They had people that criticized them and said that they should not do it, and they could not do it. When they finally overcame that and they were actually rebuilding the wall, there was opposition, physical opposition from the people that surrounded them. Even to the point once when Nehemiah described the building as the people had a weapon in one hand and a brick and mortar in the other. That's how difficult it was. Well, no, don't let yourself be confused that these folks were joyful because everything was A-OK. Their life, like our life, was almost never A-OK. But they still had joy. Anne Frank, that wonderful little girl from Germany, said in her diary, I love this, she said, quote, I refuse to see only the misery that is out there, but I want to dwell on the beauty that remains. I mean, do you ever feel like that you're just around so much misery that that's all you can see? Anne Frank said, I refuse to see only the misery, but I want to dwell on the beauty that remains. I remember last year hearing a press conference after the NCAA basketball tournament got started, and a coach that was the last team to get in the tournament. Remember those guys? They always get in the tournament, and they're not a very good team, and they always have to play a number one seed. And this coach had to play a number one seed. They got destroyed in the first game, and they were interviewing him, and they were trying to get him to complain about, you know, getting beat so badly and, you know, being exiting the tournament so soon. And he said, you know what? He said, I could be mad because I'm leaving, or I could be grateful because I'm here. There's something wonderful to be said about having the attitude that I'm not going to be knocked off of kilter because of the misery around me, but I want to see the beauty. I'm going to be thankful that I am here. So if you're going to be a part of the Thanksgiving choir, you got to have joy. But there's a second thing that's mentioned in this passage over and over and over again, and it's this idea of purity. Purity. Matter of fact, if you read the beginning of the text there, it says that when the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Isn't that interesting? They purified themselves, and then they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. See, folks, before one moment of celebration, they were busy at the job of purification. Before one song was sung, they made sure that their heart was pure before God. Before one moment of an external demonstration of their joy, they made sure that inside they were clean. I guess this is a good way to say it. What good is a dedicated wall without dedicated people? You see, they understood that so good here. And I think it is so beautiful that it says here that the leaders purified themselves, and then the leaders purified the people, and then the people purified the wall and the gates in the wall. In other words, everything was purified. Now, what does it mean by purified? It was cleaned. It was dedicated. Maybe an offering was made on behalf of the people. Maybe they took a ceremonial cloth and used it to wipe down the gates and the wall. Now think about that. This wall is pretty large. And they ceremonially cleaned the entire wall. The leaders cleaned themselves, purified themselves, and then they purified the people. And then the people, after being purified, they purified the gates and the wall of the city. You see, folks, there's something to be said for no tolerance of evil. No laughing at the things that God hates. Matter of fact, to put it bluntly today, I think that we don't think about purity near enough. We don't give enough thought to our own lives and what our heart looks like and what is inside of us. And you know what's really interesting about this idea of, if you want to be a part of the celebration choir, you got to have joy, you got to have purity. The joy is the external thing. Oh my goodness, you can't mistake being around people that are joyful, right? But how about pure? Oh, a lot of times I think we try to appear pure. We try to project purity. But here deep down, I think we just have to answer, am I pure? Am I loving what God loves and hating what He hates? You see, it's all about this outward joy, but it's also about this inward purity. So I ask you this morning, which one of those scares you? I don't know about you, but I love the subject of joy. I can always find reasons to laugh and be happy and to enjoy life. But a lot of times that outward joy depends on my inward purity. They didn't sing a song until they were purified. The service did not start. The choirs did not sing until the purity takes place. You know why? Because what good is a dedicated wall without dedicated people? You know, there's a beautiful example of this in the New Testament. It comes from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. It says in Colossians 1 verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father. And who doesn't want to be there? You know, if you're like me, it's like, yeah, I want to be a part of a Thanksgiving choir. I'll sign up for that. And here it's described that we need to be a people that joyfully give thanks to the Father. Colossians 1:12. Colossians 1, 9 through 11 kind of gives us what the picture of that really looks like. Look at Colossians 1, 9 through 11. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And then the next phrase is simply, so that we can be a thankful people, giving joyful thanks to the Father. But you know what? When I read this passage of Scripture, and I think about that, I want to live a life of joy. I want to be a part of the joyful Thanksgiving choir, and how I get there is to have joy and to be committed to purity. And here he describes it. Look at this description. Let me make some of these words jump out to you. He says, so that you may live a life worthy. You may live a life worthy. What does that look like? I mean, what is a worthy life? I think a worthy life is a life of someone that gets up every morning and their first thought is, God, how can I honor you today? God, how can I honor you today? The first thought in the morning of a life that is worthy is not, oh my gosh, the alarm has gone off and now I got to get up. The first thought of a person like this is when they wake up, they say, God, how can I live a life today worthy of the Lord? Because I want to please you in every way. Look at that. Please him in every way. Do you do that? I mean, do you wake up every morning and you think about every word, every action, everything that you do is chosen because you want to honor Christ, that you want to please him? Someone told me one time, said that you should never go anywhere that you wouldn't want Jesus or your mother to go with you. Right? I mean, if you're going to go in, just think, okay, would I want Jesus to walk in here with me, but I want my mother to walk in here with me. Now, some of you may, your mother may party with you all the time. Now, that illustration breaks down if that's the case, okay? If that's the case, take your mother out and just have Jesus there, all right? But the point is simply this. We have to give some thoughts. Am I going to live today in a way that pleases him? Look at this next phrase. Bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit. Now that doesn't mean carrying something, it means producing something. It means something happening in your life because of the life that you're living. In other words, that you are living a life worthy of the Lord, that you are pleasing him in every way, and because you're doing those two things, your life is bearing fruit in every good work. Look at the next phrase. He says, growing in the knowledge of God. Think about that. Is that describing your life? You see, we're describing the life that's going to get us to the point where we're living a life of thanksgiving. And in order to live a life of thanksgiving, we're going to live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. In other words, I'm better today than I was yesterday. I'll be better tomorrow than I am today. Look at the next phrase. He says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You see where this is going? Because the last phrase there simply talks about how important it is to have great endurance and patience. And then it says, giving joyful thanks to the Father. 9 through 11, live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, have great endurance and patience, and then you will live a life that's giving joyful thanks to the Father. That's how we get there. So see, folks, it's not that easy to just join the Thanksgiving choir. There's got to be something that causes you to reach out and do that. And to some people, that scares people to death. You know, I remember when I was in first grade, I got my first part in a school play. And I was so excited because, you know, even back then, I didn't have a problem with, talking or getting up in front of people. You know, I wanted to be the class clown and all that kind of stuff. So I loved being a part of that. But then the drama teacher came to me and said, and by the way, John, you have to sing a song. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for any songs, okay? I can talk, you know, that's no problem. But even right now today, if somebody said, you know, John, would you just sing Jesus Loves Me for these people? I'd say, no way, I don't sing, okay? That's not part of my who I am, right? There's something that scares all of us to death. But I remember I did it. But you know what? Everybody knew, everybody that was there knew that it was tough. That was out of my comfort zone. And you know what? It's easy to think, you know what? I want to sign up for a Thanksgiving choir. But I just want you to know it's not that easy. You got to be joyful. If you don't have joy, do you want them in the choir? I mean, do you want somebody in the choir that's just a bunch of sour pusses? No, you want the most joyful people in the world. You know what else you want? You want godly people. You want people that are pure. You want people that will not only sing about it, but that people will look at them and know that they live that kind of life. So let's join the Thanksgiving choir. Let's get on the walls around our city and let's sing of the goodness and the greatness of our God. Let's join in the temple and let's have a wonderful celebration service, a wonderful dedication service to how great He is. And may the rafters be raised because of our voices of thanksgiving. You know, some people say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. I've given you 1,000 words, probably even more. I want to give you a picture. Watch this.
Do to my saying?
I wrote the same, but in different words.
Thanks, love.
So here's the moral of the story. Be thankful for what you have. Be creative, be innovative, think differently, think positively, think joyfully, think purity. And when life gives you 1,000 or 100 reasons to cry, show life that you have 1,000 reasons to smile. Face your past with regret, handle your present with confidence, and prepare for the future without fear. Knowing that if you join the choir of thanksgiving, and that if you sing to your God because of the joy that's within your heart and because of the purity that wells up inside of you, that people will see that. The most beautiful thing for a person to see is a smile. Have you ever thought that a lot of times our smile causes our joy, but our joy can also cause our smile? That deep within us, because we are a grateful people, we can overcome some of the darkest things that life can throw our way. So the answer to the question is yes and yes. Yes, I should be thankful. And yes, I will be thankful because of what God has done for me. You know, there's one more thing that I would be remiss if I didn't mention. If you read that passage closely at the very end of it, verse 44, it says that the storehouses were filled up with the giving from the people. In other words, their purity within their hearts caused them to be joyful. Their joy in their hearts caused them to be thankful. The thanksgiving within their hearts caused them to share. And they did. And God used what they gave as a wonderful blessing to all. May that be so for all of us as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I praise you today for this wonderful opportunity to be together with your people. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be a grateful people. God, help us to be a thankful people. Help us to join the Thanksgiving choir and march around this city singing to all that can hear. God, may we gather in this place each week and raise the rafters with our thanksgiving and our joy. And God, I pray that it'll all come from a pure heart that loves you. And then God, use us to bless others. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And dear Lord, I pray right now that you would encourage us as we sing and share together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the First Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, Christ.com.